Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back for the second installment of the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. I, of course, am your host, Justin Rogers. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed my first podcast. I apologize if I was a little rusty. I haven't really been able to podcast much this semester, within the last month or so, just because of my school schedule and work and all that fun stuff. So it's nice to get back into the swing of things. Sorry if I was a little rusty. Hopefully this one is better. I wanted to start this off by talking about, of course, the World Series. Like I said in the first podcast, baseball is my favorite sport without a doubt. And the World Series actually just ended. I'm sorry, I apologize. I wasn't able to provide more analysis throughout the World Series, but just based on my schedule and homework and every other thing I've had going on, it's been kind of tough to be able to podcast for every World Series game. As much as I'd like to, I don't think I'd have enough content to talk really in-depth about it. I mean, I can talk about baseball forever, but to the point where it would keep everyone's interest, I don't know if I'd be able to do that, so I apologize. I couldn't do that game-by-game analysis like I would like to, but anyways, the Cubs won in Game 7. Yeah, when I last podcast I did was about them losing Game 1 6-0, and they ended up falling behind in the series 3-1, and we're on the brink of elimination, and then we're able to come back. And I just gotta say this, I probably shouldn't, but as a Warriors fan, this feels good, because now the 3-1 jokes can kind of fall to the wayside and be deflected in favor of the Cleveland Indians, just because the Cleveland Cavaliers, I mean, they overcame a 3-1 deficit to win, so it's almost poetic that the Indians, the other Cleveland sports team in the championship, blows a 3-1 lead. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too into it, but I think it's hilarious. I just think it's funny how sports have a way of working out. I don't know if it's that bad juju of LeBron James throwing that Halloween party saying with the banner saying 3-1, and it had all the 3-1 jokes throughout the party. I don't know if that's bad juju for that or what, but nonetheless, the Indians blew a 3-1 lead. And I don't, get me wrong, I don't hate the Indians. I actually like them. I actually don't mind the Indians. I think they're a great team, and I was actually happy that they made the World Series, but I can't help but make jokes about it. I mean, virtually everyone else, is you just turn on social media, you'll find all the 3-1 jokes in the world. But sadly enough, I don't think those jokes are ever going to top the 3-1 lead the Warriors blew. I just don't think the Indians are that popular of a team to pull that feat off. Oh well, I'll take it while I can. This Game 7 in particular, this was a really, really good game. I was on my feet, just on pins and needles from about the 8th inning on. So the Cubs ended up winning the game 8-7, and they almost blew a lead themselves, ironic enough. But they were leading 6-3 going into the 8th inning. And then the Indians were able to tie the game all with two outs. So this is kind of how the inning went. It led off with Francisco Lindor grounding out to shortstop against John Lester, and then Mike Napoli striking out. And then Jose Ramirez was able to reach with a single with two outs, and that knocked Lester out of the game. So in comes Aroldis Chapman, Cubs closer, trying to get a inning and a third save Excuse me, sorry. Had a brain lapse there for a second. But, yeah, so he was trying to get a 1 1/3 inning save opportunity to seal the deal. And once he came in, the Indians were able to build even more momentum as Brandon Guyer doubled Ramirez home. And then Rajay Davis, right after, he had a home run, just tanked a fastball. He was sitting fastball all the way. And, I mean, as we all know, Aroldis Chapman throwing 104 miles an hour is a fastball pitcher. Everyone knows a fastball is coming, and Rajay Davis is a pretty solid fastball hitter. So he just absolutely tanked it. That tied the game up, and then Coco Crisp followed that with a single, and then Yan Gomes eventually ended the inning by striking out after Crisp reached on that single. And then the game remained tied, and as we were going into the 10th inning, there was actually a rain delay. So that delayed the game about 20 minutes, and that just further delayed the excitement and anticipation, made the whole baseball community just a nervous wreck. Because everyone, as much as we don't want baseball to end, I mean, obviously you want this high caliber of a game to continue, and you want to see how it plays out. There's just that anticipation and that angst to finish the game. So after the 17 or 20 minute rain delay, the Indians headed back out to the field, and the Cubs were able to build momentum and eventually take the lead in that inning. The Cubs were able to score on a Ben Zobrist double, and then Miguel Montero increased the lead by 2 runs to 8-6 on a single that knocked in, I believe it was Anthony Rizzo. And then, so they took that 8-6 lead into the bottom of the 10th inning, and obviously after using Aroldis Chapman already, they took him out of the game, and in comes Carl Edwards Jr. for the save opportunity. And this is a player that not many people knew about. I remember I saw him earlier in this season pitching against the Giants, and I thought, man, what's this skinny dude going to do? He's like a twig, and I can't really talk because I'm fairly skinny as well, but I mean, I was like, "Huh, I wonder how this guy's going to pitch." And he's out there throwing like 96, 97 miles an hour. Like, "Oh my god, this dude is a stud. This guy's going to be a good reliever for years to come." And he shut the Giants down, and he had a pretty solid year for the Cubs. So everyone's like, who's this Carl Edwards Jr. guy? And everyone was rooting for him from what I saw, and I was rooting for him just because I thought that would have been a really cool way to end the season. So in he comes in the bottom of the 10th with a save opportunity, strikes out Mike Napoli, the first batter he faces, and then he gets Jose Ramirez to ground out. So here he is with 2 outs, just needs one more to have his first ever World Series series clinching save, and not too many people can say that they've had that special of a moment. So he's 1 out away and just could not quite get the job done. He walked Brandon Guyer with 2 outs. That allowed a runner to reach base, and then Guyer eventually was able to go to second, advance to second off a defensive interference by the catcher, I believe. And then, so here's a runner at second with 2 outs, and then in comes Mike Montgomery to try and get the final out, and then, actually, no. Scratch that. Sorry, I apologize. After the defensive interference, Rajay Davis got a single and was able to knock in another run home to make the score 8-7. And then Carl Edwards was replaced by Mike Montgomery. Sorry for the confusion. But ultimately, Mike Montgomery was able to get the final out as he forced Michael Martinez to hit a slow roller to third base and ground out. And initially, I thought this was going to be one of those plays. He's going to be a slow roller, and he's going to reach, and the inning's just going to continue. And next thing you know, we're going to have another tie, and maybe even the Indians win. That's just how crazy of a game this has been, and obviously nothing would have surprised me at that point. But Michael Martinez I found out is not the fastest guy in the entire world and was unable to beat out the throw. And there you have the Cubs winning their first World Series in over 108 years, completing the 3-1 comeback and breaking the curse, essentially. And, yeah, it was just a really, really great World Series. One of my favorite World Series in recent memory, other than when the Giants have won the World Series. Of course, as a Giants fan, those are always going to be my favorite World Series. But honestly, one of my favorite series I've ever watched. I mean, that's up there, of course, with when the Red Sox broke their curse. I think it's just a matter of teams breaking the quote-unquote curse, or just winning after not winning for so many years. So I think I just like that. But honestly, this was a really great World Series, despite the fact that both teams haven't won in a ridiculously long length of time. Ben Zobrist was named the MVP. Up until the World Series, he hadn't really done much. I think he hit like 150 and like 137 in the two series prior. So he was due for a big series, and he delivered. He went, he batted 357 for the World Series, knocked in two RBIs, and of course one of those was the eventual game-winning RBI in Game 7, so hats off to Ben Zobrist for winning the MVP. I thought someone like Chris Bryant or John Lester or Anthony Rizzo or someone was going to win it, maybe even Jake Arrieta. I didn't expect Ben Zobrist, honestly. My bet would have been Chris Bryant, but Ben Zobrist, really great pick. And there you have the conclusion of the Major League Baseball season for 2016. It's been a phenomenal year, painful year for Giants fans. That could have been us in the World Series if it weren't for our bullpen. But hey, it's always next year. Hopefully they can beat the odd year curse. It'll be another year, or another curse to be broken next year, hopefully. but yeah, congratulations to the Chicago Cubs. First World Series in 108 years. I'm looking forward to seeing how the parade goes in that one. And then with that being said, I kind of want to transition over a little bit to a little bit of 49ers football, and then I'm going to end it with talking about the Warriors a little bit. And they were actually in action earlier tonight as they took on the Thunder in Oakland, so not quite a homecoming for Kevin Durant, but interesting nonetheless, playing against his former team. The Warriors won tonight 122-96, absolutely dominated the Thunder. Kevin Durant had no signs of nervousness playing against his former team, playing against Russell Westbrook. He had 39 points, shot 15 of 24 from the court, including 7 of 11 on three-pointers, and he also had 7 rebounds to go along with that. Stephen Curry, he had 21 points on the game, 1 rebound, 7 assists. Klay Thompson was able to chime in, 18 points on 7 of 14 shooting. And 4 for 8 from the 3-point line. Draymond Green, he had 9 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. And then Russell Westbrook for the Thunder, he had 20 points, but he shot an abysmal 4 for 15 from the field. He did not have a great game by any means. He had 6 rebounds and 10 assists to go along with that. And it's clear to see who the winner was in Game 1 between the Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook showdown. Kevin Durant obviously had the better game, almost had 40 points, and Westbrook just looked like he was trying to do too much, and he just couldn't get it done tonight. No knock against Westbrook. He's a phenomenal point guard, one of the best in the NBA, and he's a triple-double machine. Didn't get one in this game, only got a double-double, but, I mean, he's probably going to get quite a few this season. And I talked in my first podcast last week about how the Warriors' bench depth could be a cause for concern. The Warriors have won every game since. I believe they're 4-1 or 5-1 on the season right now. And I mean, they're looking pretty solid. Obviously, still early in the season, we'll see. They've pretty much blown out every other team aside from the Phoenix Suns. I think they lost to the Suns 106 to 100, if I'm not mistaken. But other than that, they've been cruising along, and I'm expecting much more of that. It'll be interesting to see when this team is fully comfortable with each other and playing their best basketball, because even though they're having their defensive struggles, they're putting on a clinic from the offensive end, and I'm just excited to see how this season progresses for the Warriors. I don't know if they'll win 73 games. That's a lot to ask for, and that's a pretty tall task to live up to, but they're going to win quite a few games this year, and I'm excited. Hopefully I can get to a game some point this year. I don't know, though. Warriors games are ridiculously expensive. I don't think I can find a game for under like $90 for one ticket. That's how crazy it is. It's absolutely insane. I remember when the games were like $12 a ticket, and me and my friends, we would go, we'd drive down, and just, I mean, the Warriors were absolutely terrible when those kind of deals were in place, but I mean, it was still a lot of fun. And now, I mean, shoot, I have to save quite a bit of money from my paycheck just to be able to afford to go to a game. I haven't gone to a game in a couple of years. I wasn't able to go all last year. So, I don't know. Hoping to save up some money and be able to catch a game sometime this year. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the 49ers, who, when they built Levi Stadium, it was almost impossible to get a ticket. They were going for like over $100 to $200 per ticket. And now it's kind of reversing. I think I saw one game, or tickets for one game for like $25 or $30 a ticket. And I was like, what? That's insane. Especially for a football game, only 8 home games a year. It's just a testament to how terrible the 49ers are. I haven't really talked much about the 49ers this year. They're pretty awful. I guess really the only thing I can talk about is over the last couple of weeks, Colin Kaepernick has finally emerged from the shadows and from taking a knee during the national anthem, making headlines now for actually starting. He took over Blaine Gabbert's spot a couple of weeks ago when the 49ers were set to take on the Bills, and they got absolutely trashed or thrashed. They lost to the Bills 45 to 16. Kaepernick, 13 of 29, throwing 187 yards, one touchdown, 8 rushes, 66 yards. So he looked good on the ground, but I mean, couldn't even complete 50% of his passes. And I don't know if that's just rust or if it's just indicative of who he is as a quarterback. And that's just who he is from here on out. Just not a good quarterback. Just had a couple good years. And other than that, he's just a below average at best quarterback. I don't know. But even in his last start, I guess he looked a little better. I don't know. He didn't look great at all, either against the Bucks, where they lost 34 to 17. And Kaepernick was 16 for 34 passing for only 143 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Again, he impressed with his legs, had 9 rushes for 84 yards. And now the 49ers are going into a bye week. They're 1-6 going into the bye week. Things aren't going according to schedule. I mean, we didn't really expect much out of the 49ers this year anyways, but of course, just like the same thing as last year, they showed a little bit of promise in week one and then just absolutely fell on their face. They just want to give us hope, at least at the beginning of the season. They want to give us something to cheer for so we don't just strike them down from the beginning and just doubt them all the way through. They want us that one glimmer of hope. And that's it. That's all they've been able to provide all last year. Even worse this year. Who knows when they'll win another game. I think after this bye week, they have the Saints coming up. So I'm just expecting the Saints to throw all over the field on the Niners defense, and it's just depressing times as a Niners fan, especially when just a few years ago the Niners were the best team in football. They're in a Super Bowl, three straight NFC championship games, and then now last year they had a completely inept head coach, went 5-11. This year under Chip Kelly they're even worse so far, 1-6. So who knows? Sure, the other side of the bay is happy. The Raiders are absolutely cruising right now. They're 6-2 on the year. So just look at the complete role reversal. The Raiders have been able to draft right, sign key free agents, and here they are, a force at the top of the AFC West right now. It's between them, the Chiefs, and the Broncos. So a really tight division race between the three. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Only time will tell. That will do it for this installment of my podcast, the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you enjoyed the 2016 Major League Baseball season. I hope you're enjoying the NFL season right now. Whether you're a Niners fan, just enjoying watching football in general. Obviously not the Niners. Or if you're a Raiders fan, just simply enjoying the fact that the Raiders are successful once again and 49ers aren't. So the Raiders have bragging rights right now. I just hope you continue to enjoy whatever your favorite sport is, and I hope you enjoy these podcasts because I'm enjoying recording them. Once again, I'm trying to do so once every week, hoping to stick to that schedule. Maybe more if time permits. Maybe I'll skip a week if time doesn't permit and I'm just too busy, but generally the consensus will be that I'm going to post at least once a week. So be on the lookout. I hope you all enjoyed listening to this podcast, and I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I will see you all next time.